Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And as I mentioned earlier, the Life and Latte team were doing a pre-record yesterday. And when I asked Paula Levine what they were talking about, what the show was going to cover, she told me that it was about this transition from Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaAtzmaut. So I thought, whoa, 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 that sounds exactly up my alley. And at the risk hearing the show before the show, but I promise you, it's very, very different when you sit down to a cup of coffee or three with the Life and Latte team. I just wanted to explore this concept a little bit further. Joining us now is Paula Levine, host of Life and Lattes. Good morning. Great to have you in studio. So it's really just to try and understand how we manage this emotional shift, because these 2 days obviously could be separated on a calendar, however Israel chose to do so.
And I've always wondered why they weren't.
Yeah, and they've almost made it the most difficult thing to deal with, to go from this morning to celebration instead of having some time in the middle where one day is dedicated to mourning, commemoration, and another to a celebration. Any thoughts as to why?
So when you say like this major shift, my friend Laurie in Israel calls it emotional whiplash. And I love that
great
term.
Expression.
Yeah, and she said like Israelis are often living with that. You know, it's particularly, for example, Purim, you know, getting ready with the Mishloach Manot and the outfits and then running into shelters. It's emotional whiplash. Or, you know, Pesach also, the sirens and the cooking. So Lisa was saying why it has to be consecutive. Lisa's my co-host of the show. Is almost Yom HaZikaron is this excruciating pain. But if it's not seen as the pain of labor, if you don't have Yom HaAtzmaut to go into to have the baby, it's almost how do you move forward?
It feels
like a stillbirth. That's exactly the words that she used.
Yeah, almost pointless.
You can't move forward.
For what?
Yes, and you can't. She said, like, "How would you go to work the next day after opening up that space, allowing yourself to feel that intensity of emotion? You need Yom HaAtzmaut." And I don't know if you, I'm sure you were listening last night to the Yom HaZikaron. And Rabbi Perez said, you know, it's this contrast of intense pain and intense pride, intense pain and intense purpose. And that's the paradox that we unpack in our show, which you can listen to on Wednesday. But and we all have to live with paradox, not only Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut. We live with paradox all the time. And we unpack the idea of how do you hold two emotions? Because also after Yom HaZikaron, it's not like a switch is flipped.
Well, it can't be.
It can't be. You still have that pain. And for those families who we cannot imagine.
Yeah, it doesn't just go away.
It's always there. And so it's about making space. The human heart is built for vastness. That's a piece that Andy read out loud yesterday. I love that phrase. It's built for vastness, not this mediocre middle. It can be way too intense with the extremes, but actually that's life.
So in fact, I will never forget a conversation. You mentioned Rabbi Doron Perez. When I spoke to him after October 7th, and they had celebrated the wedding of his other son, who had been injured, was well enough to get married, but of course Danielle was still missing. You know, they didn't know at that point what the outcome was going to be. And he spoke about that standing at the chuppah, the marriage ceremony of the son, celebrating it with such intense, with such joy, but at the same time holding the tragedy, loss, anxiety, fear, all of those things, unimaginable emotions in with them. That's almost captures exactly what it is that you're talking about.
And I've heard him speak as well about the idea that in the Shema it says Bechol Levavot, which is a strange word because it's, you know, you love Hashem with all your heart, but the word is actually all your, singular, hearts. Levavot is a plural word.
So
and
we
that
have
he,
this.
We have two, we have space for duality in our hearts because it's never one or the other. It's both.
And in fact, it might not be as intense in every other part of our lives, thankfully, because
thank
I
God.
Think that
nobody
we'd be just
could.
Exhausted
yeah.
from that. But the reality is that in every single day, we have stresses and we have joys and we have sadness and we have happiness and we've got all of these things. You know, one of the dangers of, I think, the world that, well, social media maybe is has gifted us in inverted commas is that we think everything is one thing or the other. You're either this or you that. There's hardly room for nuance. And this forces a nuance is what we require in
that's,
order
yeah,
to thrive.
That's what we need for critical thinking, sophisticated thinking, and not being reduced to binaries.
So how do we take that forward? How do we take the metaphor of a Yom HaZikaron to a Yom HaTzma'ot into our world without overwhelming ourselves?
So I also brought up in the show this book. I don't know if you people know that Viktor Frankl actually has two books.
What?
Yes.
He wrote another book?
So he didn't write it. It was published posthumously.
Yes.
But based on a lecture that he gave. And the
What's it called?
The title is everything. The title is everything. Yes to life in spite of everything. And it's about...
I know that? I'm going on to Amazon
now. They have it at Kollel.
Oh, do they have it?
They have it at Kollel.
Right, yes. Okay. Well, that's where I'm going.
It's absolutely incredible. Yeah. And the title just says it all because, you know, no matter what, and Lisa brought up the story of Sherry Mandel, whose son Corby was murdered at age 13 in the most brutal way with his best friend Yosef Ishran. They had gone on a hike, these little boys, and Palestinian terrorists had murdered them. And she had forgotten to, they were on the way to the funeral. And she was just like in a surreal space. She was just consumed. And her six-year-old pulled on her skirt and said, Emma, I'm starving. And she's like, what? Like, what would you talk? Has no one fed you? And he said, no, I haven't eaten all day. And she said he pulled her right down to ground, right down to
back
earth.
Back to reality.
And she realized, I still have to be here. I still have to be here. I still have to feed my son. So no matter what we go through, we are still here. And we have to say yes to life in spite of everything and find that freedom to choose our attitude in every moment. And I was saying that, you know, I can tell you, you're free to choose your attitude, right?
But and we hear it all the time.
What does that mean coming from me, from a lovely young lady, as referred to me in your intro? You know,
what does it mean?
But
good.
When someone who's walked out of Auschwitz says, "You are free to choose, yes to life in spite of everything," then we sit up and we take notice. If Sherry Mandel says that you can move forward and you can go and still be here and be here fully with the pain, but you be here and you're embracing life. Then we sit up and we take notice. And that's the Yom HaAtzmaut result of Yom HaZikaron. It's that pain, that purpose.
It's almost remembering the six-year-olds who are around, you know, who need to wave a flag and to feel optimistic and to be positive.
And we need it as well.
We need it so badly.
Yeah.
In fact, I was chatting a little bit earlier this morning to Avi Kay, whose son Eli was murdered in a terror attack. And he said something in a way quite simple. He said, the next day or whenever it is, there are still bills to pay and payroll and work to be done. And, you know, somebody's got to go and do the normal things of life. So, you know, it's not only the balancing joy maybe that grounds us, perhaps that's a little bit later, but almost immediately there are the things that have to just get done.
They have to get done. And you have to still be here. As long as we're still here, Hashem wants us here. We got to be here. We've got to do it.
So how do we approach Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzma'ut. It is happening. We're in the middle of Yom HaZikaron. It was an incredibly moving and powerful ceremony last night. We heard stories that were very, very hard to listen to, and maybe they are an example of that, because the guests that spoke both lost their children, each lost a child at Nova Festival, and they found each other.
Yeah,
which is such a strange but incredible and powerful, weird, wonderful, I don't know what it is, but it's so many things.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what it is.
I think that we also made the point that us in South Africa asking, you know, how do we move from one to the other? We're kind of spectators, if we're real about it. We are not the people standing there at the cemeteries and then, you know, moving into Yom HaAtzmaut. And we have to also have the humility that we cannot really understand the experience of being an Israeli on this day.
No.
Being in Israel, and even, you know, it's just about my friend Laurie, the same one who's told me about emotional whiplash. She said she hates the R word, which is resilience. Everyone is always telling Israelis how resilient they are, and she said, please stop telling us how resilient we are and just give us a minute to be not okay.
Because it must be enormous pressure to be resilient all the time.
Exactly.
Gosh.
And no one's resilient all the time.
No.
And we just have to be mindful that we can't understand what they're going through. We can't understand what anyone's going through, what any other human being is going through. What we can do is we can care, and we can be curious, and we can ask. But we can't say, you must feel, or you are so resilient, or you are so... We can't, and
well,
particularly as South Africans.
Well, I'll give you an example the other way around. I was working with a company, and one of the people involved in the wellness of employees wasn't in South Africa. And it was a time that it was the middle of winter, and we were having a lot of load shedding, and it was just quite miserable. And I spoke to him, and I said, it was one of my concerns, is that it's very, very difficult for you to understand the negativity and what people are feeling when you're not here. Now, I'm not dismissing your care, but the reality is you're not sitting in traffic because all the traffic lights aren't working, and you aren't coming into an office so frustrated that you want to smash somebody. And that's just an example the other way around. I was wondering, when you did this pre-record with your co-hosts who are based in Israel, is there any sense that, Paula, you'll never really understand because you're not here? And I don't mean it in a negative way, because that isn't the team. But the reality is,
I think it's so important.
We aren't there.
We aren't there.
We're not having our Seder disturbed and running to a bomb shelter with our little children, who all we want is just to enjoy the festival. You know, it's hard to...
We're not living it.
No.
We're not, and we can't imagine. And I do really get that sense, and my co-host, well, Lisa particularly, Andy's just nonstop positive all the time, vitamin A. But Lisa,
resilient.
Lisa can be so resilient, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But not in a toxic positivity way, absolutely not, in a very real way, but she has worked on this, on holding both and feeling, you know, the joy it's so intensely. But Lisa was saying, you know, with a son in Lebanon, you know, a lot, and so many mothers or husbands in, and she says, like, people in Chutz La'aretz, in you know, friends in other countries will say, you know, thinking of you. And she said, it's not enough. Like, a little WhatsApp once every, you know, 2 months is actually not enough.
So what is?
So
because
how
we're
are
all
you?
In that,
yeah.
We're all in that. A friend of mine, unfortunately, his son was quite severely hurt a few days ago.
Gosh, I'm sorry.
I sent a message, and all I could say is, you know, you're in my heart, you're in my thoughts, you're in my prayers, but I don't know what, I can't bring him a babka.
Like, no, absolutely.
You know, Like, there's just nothing.
The go-to South African answer to everything.
Like, please, can I feed you? You know, so what is enough?
Yeah. So she just made the point to ask, not to say you must be or it must be, but say how are you, and don't expect a reply, and you may not get a reply. But then be consistent. Be consistent. Check in every so often.
That's important.
Check in again.
Yeah.
You know, my Aunt Rosie, she once said that, you know, when someone is sick in hospital, the first time you go to visit them, it's for you. So you can feel like a big mitzvah girl and you did the right thing. But it wasn't actually for them. When you go again the second time, now you're actually going for them. And that's the thing, is like, we need to actually try to be there in a way that is so humble, that is so aware of the limits of our ability to understand what they're going through, and to just be curious, to ask, and to give them the space, and just be consistent.
That is absolutely awesome. The Life and Latte, what time tomorrow?
10 till 11.
10 to 11. Don't miss that.
Enjoy it.
Because it certainly sounds like an incredible, incredible conversation, some of which we spoke about. I see, you see, my listeners are just the best. Viktor Frankl has more than two books. Wow, now I'm looking at them. The Will to Meaning, Man's Search for Meaning, The Doctor of the Soul, and The Unconscious, I can't read it, maybe God.
That is embarrassing. We will have to have a trip to Cornell ASAP and get everything
on the shelf. Absolutely right. Thank you for that.